In the beginning, God. You want to translate that?
I couldn't hear you well at all. I am sorry, it is an internet problem. I cannot hear you well at all.
Okay. In the beginning, God is the subject. Okay, thank you. Our speaker tonight is Brother Les Shears, and he's speaking on this subject.
Okay, we'll try to see if I can speak up. Good evening, everyone. Have you ever, on a dark night, looked up into the sky and seen the stars above? Thousands of stars. And have you ever wondered how far away they are and how they came to get there in the first place? Okay, the nearest star to us we call the Sun, and it's about 93 million miles away.
در مورد خورشید شروعی که از خورشید هستش با خورشید شروع میشه و در مورد 99 میلیون سال پیش.
And the light from the sun takes 8 minutes and 18 seconds to reach the earth. The light from the sun takes 8 minutes and 18 seconds to reach the earth. The next nearest star, it takes the light 4.3 light years to reach the earth. So to work out how many miles that is, we multiply 4.3 by 365.25 times 60 times 60.
I don't think you need to work that one out. Don't bother.
It's a very big number. It's such a big number that we can't tell you it in miles. We have to use this idea of light years. And the universe, the whole thing, is 90 billion light years across. It's very big. So, how did that get there? How did something that big come into being? Because once upon a time, a long time ago, there was nothing. Okay, now scientists tell us that suddenly, out of that nothing, something caused a big explosion, and the universe grew at an amazing speed.
علم میگه که از هیچی یک کلی چیز خیلی بزرگ و یک چیز خیلی عظیمی به وجود اومد، یعنی از صفر به وجود اومد، هیچ مبدعی نداشت.
But if there was nothing there, what caused the explosion?
اما این چیزی نیست که توی کتاب بگه، کتاب به ما یک چیز دیگه داره توضیح میده.
And even if we can try to understand what caused the explosion, that doesn't explain how there came to be life on this planet. Okay, now the Bible's got a very simple explanation of how this came about. It says that we understand that the universe was created by the word, the purpose, the power of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible.
اگر بخوام در مورد پیدایش این نور صحبت کنیم، کتاب مقدس به ما خیلی واضح در مورد این قضیه صحبت کرده که چطور نور به وجود میاد و شروع همه چیز کلام خدا و هدف خدا بوده که اون دستور داده که اینطور به وجود بیاد.
And it goes on to explain how there came to be life on the earth, but not just life, life that's very varied. There are all sorts of animals and creatures, and it's very complicated. And how come human beings came to be on the earth, because we are perhaps the most complicated of all creatures.
خیلی پیچیده است بخوام در مورد این صحبت کنیم و جزئیاتش رو بدونیم و اینکه چطور موجودیت انسان روی زمین به وجود اومد.
Well, a scientist, a famous scientist in the UK, who died recently, called Stephen Hawking, said that it would be very difficult to explain why the universe would have begun in the way that it did unless, or except, it was an act of God who intended to create beings like us.
دانشمندان و ستاره‌شناسانی مثل استیون هاکینگ اینطور میگفتن که اگر بخوان در مورد پیدایش زمین به طور کامل بخوان در موردش بدونیم و جزئیاتش رو بدونیم، خیلی کار پیچیده و مشکلی هست که چطور جهان خلق میشه، ولی میدونیم که دست خدا در کار بوده و خدا بوده که این پیدایش رو به وجود آورده.
And this is what the Bible tells us. It says in the book of Isaiah that the Lord God created the heavens, he formed the earth and made it, he established it, he formed it to be inhabited.
توی کتاب اشعیا نبی برای ما توضیح داده شده در مورد همین قضیه که میگه خدا جهان رو آفرید، اون به اون شکل داد و اون رو برای حیات انسان‌ها فراهم کرد.
Now, there are some people who maintain that the world was not created by God and that all the animals and humans on it were not created by God. But they don't really provide any rational, convincing evidence for that.
چیزهایی هستند که بعدها آفریده شدن، خلق شدن و یعنی انسان‌ها رو آفریدن، حیوانات رو، و کم کم شرارت به وجود اومد، چیزی که خدا نمی‌خواست، ولی انسان‌ها اینو به وجود آوردن.
that they give plenty of assertions, but there's no real convincing evidence. You have to trust their explanation. You have to have faith in their explanation, just as you would have to have faith in the Bible's explanation.
در مورد جزئیات این وقایعی که گفته میشه توی کتاب مقدس توضیح زیادی وجود نداره و فقط ما باید ایمان داشته باشیم و با ایمان خودمون هست به کتاب که بتونیم اینها رو باور کنیم.
What I want to show is that you don't have to be stupid to believe the Bible. Some people say, oh, you're soft in the head if you believe the Bible. What I'm going to show you, I hope, is that far from it. In fact, there are a lot of things that you can't really find an answer to unless you look in the Bible. Okay, I'm going to look at one particular creature to start with, because there are a lot of things about this creature that cannot be explained by using the ideas of evolution, which are taught so widely these days in schools and in our society around us.
در مورد یک پیدایش خاص میخوام صحبت کنم که در کتاب اومده و گفتم که در مورد نظریه نظریه چی بود؟
Okay, I'm going to talk to you.
نظریه تکامل. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about a bird called the peregrine falcon. And this is an amazing bird. It is the fastest creature on Earth. It flies at a speed of over 300 kilometers an hour.
Hello?
Hello? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'll say that again. I'm going to talk about a bird called the peregrine falcon, which flies at a speed of over 300. Hello?
You was paused. Oh, I couldn't understand you at all.
Okay. I'll put the film on that I'm going to show, a very short film to people. It lasts about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, it's just not. It's not working.
Your problem?
Yeah.
What's happened with it?
We have problems with technology.
Yeah, it was all working.
Come on. This bird is very fast. Faster than any other creature. Faster than almost any car that you could buy. Okay?
It's certainly faster than the technology.
It's beginning to appear. So.
Can you see the lights up there?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. We try and listen to this. The sound's not very good, so you'll have to listen very carefully.
The desperate to feed her chicks. She locks onto her target, a fast and agile pigeon. Time to turn on the speed. Tucking in her wings, she shoots towards Earth. Her teardrop-shaped body, the height of aerodynamic design. Within seconds, she has reached her terminal velocity of 200 miles per hour. The force of air would explode her lungs, if not for the baffles in her nostrils. The design is so effective, it is now used in jet engines.
So the pigeon escaped.
Well, can you turn down off the radio mic right down?
So now I want to look at some of the things that we learned about that bird, that falcon. Because I think there are seven things about that bird that all needed to be in place at the same time, or else it would have been a dead falcon. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. Okay. It would be no good at all being that fast if the bird did not have excellent eyesight. Okay? It's got to have superb eyesight, first of all. And it couldn't reach that speed unless it was of a particular shape. Now, the shape that this bird goes into is an excellent aerodynamic shape. And it would be no good going that fast if it didn't have a special adaptation to its lungs, because the force of the air going through its nostrils, if it went straight into its lungs, the bird would explode. And so there is a special device in its nasal passage that diverts the air so that it doesn't go into its lungs. And that device is so effective that it's now used in jet engines. That same idea. And it's no good going at 300 kilometers an hour, diving through the sky, unless you have some means of protecting your eyes as well, because the eyes would dry out at that speed, and any debris, any insects in the air would impact on the eye and mean that the bird can see. So this bird has a special arrangement. Its eyelid closes and opens very quickly and lubricates the eye. And if the bird's flying at 300 kilometers an hour, it needs to be pointing in the right direction. It needs to be able to control where it's flying. It's no good just dropping down. It needs to be able to aim exactly for its target. And hitting a target which is probably about the same size as the falcon itself, the pigeon is about the same size. If it hit that pigeon right on the main body of the pigeon, then both birds would be killed.
Pigeon.
It's a bird. Sorry.
Can you spell it for me?
The pigeon.
P-I-G-E-O-N.
Okay. So actually, the falcon targets the wing of the bird, which is not as dense, and therefore it doesn't kill itself on impact. But it has to be able to grab that prey, which is as big as it is, and carry it in its talons. And finally, it needs a specialized digestive system to enable it to take in this food that it captures. So all of these things need to be there all at once. They cannot be developed a bit at a time, because the falcon would have become extinct if it could not do all of these things at the same time. And it's not that the bird could have thought it would be a good idea to develop all of these things. The size of the brain of this bird is smaller than a pea. So the bird could not have, in any sense, decided, oh, it'd be a good idea if I could fly at 300 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour, and made itself do that. So all of the features needed to be in place together from the start. There is no other creature that the bird could have evolved from. There's no other bird that flies at that speed that has the same arrangement for its nostrils, that has the same arrangement for its eyes, and so on. This is a unique creature. And this is what the Bible tells us. In the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, in the very first chapter, it says that God created every winged bird according to its kind. Every different type of bird, God created them. And we could look at other birds. We haven't got time to do it. We could look at other birds and other creatures, and the same thing would be obvious, that they are designed to do precisely what they do. This hasn't come about by random chance. And humans are even more remarkable. You are all very remarkable. Okay, do you remember how big I said the universe was? 90 billion light years across and full of stars. Well, our brains in here, our brains have more connections between things called neurons than there are stars in our galaxy. So where did they come from unless a designer put them there? And people who believe in evolution tell us that creatures changed, evolved, they would say, because of the need to survive, so that they could survive better. It was all driven by competition. But human beings do things that have nothing to do with competition. There's no reason for them to be there. I'll explain what they are in a minute. Humans have emotions. They're not necessary to survival. So far as we're aware, crocodiles do not have emotions. There's a spiritual thing about human beings as well. We have a unique ability or capacity to think about spiritual things. And we're able to process information and come to rational, at least sometimes, rational decisions. We, that is if we're skillful, we can create and enjoy music. We can appreciate or indeed make paintings, works of art. We can enjoy and appreciate sculpture. Now, there's no evolutionary imperative for any of these things. They are not necessary for survival. So why do we have them?
Sorry?
So why do we have those capabilities? And we have to come back to what Stephen Hawking said, that the only rational explanation is that there is a designer who wanted to create beings like us, as the Bible tells us, in his own image. So just to conclude, it's not a sign of feeble-mindedness or gullibility to believe that the universe, this planet, and all life on it was created, as the Bible tells us, according to the purpose of Almighty God. And we can be confident that the faith that we have in God and what the Bible tells us is well placed. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Les. Okay, we're going to tell you now about the other talks that are going to happen here. So next Sunday at 2 p.m. The subject is fake news or Bible truth. Yes, like Donald Trump. And the speaker is going to be Liam Walton from Kimber. And there is a Bible class which is not here but down in Lye on Wednesday. And the subject is Saul, the son of Kish.
Saul?
Yeah, Saul as in David's, the king before David.
Saul.
Okay, thank you. We're going to finish with a hymn. And then we're going to have a prayer, which we won't do now. And if you want, do you want to say that? And if you want to get a hymn book, everybody want to make sure you got one. It's hymn 184 we're going to sing. Yeah, they're just going to get the hymn books for them here now. But the hymn is very appropriate, and I'll now read the words, and if you could translate them. The heavens declare thy glory, Lord. In every star thy wisdom shines. But when our eyes behold thy word, when our eyes see your word, we read your name in clear lines. Okay, so we're going to sing a hymn 184.
Mm-hmm.